This is a summary of a sicha which Rav Amital delivered 2002. It's about 15 years ago, Parshas Vayetze, during Suda Shlishit. He spoke about the beginning of the parsha where Yaakov is journeying. Vayikach me'avneh makom vayasem me'rash osav vayishkav b'makom hazeh. So the Torah describes Yaakov as collecting different stones and sleeping, residing in Vayasem Vayishkav Makom Ahu, Suzana Makom Hazeh Makom Ahu. And of course, the famous Chazal, the famous Rashi, that even though he took me Avnei Makom, Vayasem Mirash Osav, they became one stone. The lesson of Rashi, Hischilu Merivos Zoal Zu. All these stones were arguing and bickering with one another. Allah Yaniach Tzadik Es Roshi. Allah Yaniach Tzadik Es Roshi. Miyad Asana Kadosh Baruch Hu Evan Achas. They were vying for the to be the pillow, to serve as a pillow for this tzaddik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fused them into one stone so that a little bit later, Vayikach Es HaEven Asher Sam Mirash Osav. The transition from Avnei HaMakom to the word Evan. Once again, this is a strange medrash. Many midrashim are strange in the ideas that are voiced by certain personalities, but completely inanimate personalities. Even Rishonim who believe that planets were animated, or even if you believe that growing items have malachim, as one Mamre Chazal says that each blade of grass has a malach that attends to its needs, presumably rocks and stones, completely inanimate, have no spirit, no malach who dictates it. They're simply matter. What does it mean that rocks began to speak and to talk? And why were they, even if they are talking, they are speaking, presumably, they have no moral intuition to desire to serve that function to prop the head of a tzaddik. So Rav Amital, of course, saw this metaphorically. These aren't rocks who are speaking. They aren't talking rocks. But he raised a different question, which emerges in Parshas Vayetze. Why does it seem that Bereishis is so difficult? Sarah is barren, Rivka is barren, Rachel is barren. And Chazal talk about it in a very, the only statement we have of Chazal, the primary statement we have of Chazal, is very parochial. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to elicit tefillos. But it's got to be some larger function rather than just rewriting the genesis of history just in order, just to draw tefillos from great people. The difficulty that Yaakov encounters in this week's parsha, Rachel and Leah, and the simmering tensions between the two and the divisions that they necessarily create within the family. And why isn't it more smooth, straight, direct, unencumbered, without all the complications and complexity that seem to emerge at every turn? And Rav Amital's answer basically was, that's what life is. Life isn't black and white. Life isn't binary. Life isn't simple. Life is complex. There are dualisms, different people, different needs. And sometimes, especially religion, paints the world in monochromatic terms. And as human beings, we have to remind ourselves that we're wedding religion to life as humans, but life as humans is about relationships and interactions with others. And it can't be mapped in the same simplicity that halacha can be mapped about how much matzah to eat and how much wine to drink. And very often, these varying goals in our life and varying or competing needs complexify our decision-making process. It's not about good or bad, but about meeting multiple needs and multiple goals and different interests and satisfying different people's needs of you and from you. And in most cases, we are unable to unite all the goals, and we need to choose, and we need to prioritize, and we need to balance. But we're not able to fully synthesize or synchronize all the various needs of a very complex world. Rav Amital felt that that was the vying of the stones. Each stone represents a different value, and each value wanted to occupy the attention, the head, the presence of the tzaddik. And of course, someone like Yaakov maybe is capable of fusing different stones, but human beings aren't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, by his sweep and diversity. But on a national level, Yaakov is able. And as Yaakov transitions from an individual to the father of a nation that night, remember, this is his transition moment. He didn't receive any promise or divine revelation. This is essentially his launch, his inauguration as an Av. So now that he's no longer just a single, solitary individual, but he's the father of Am Yisrael, now the stones merge into one, because he realizes that to build a people, you have to merge different interests, different values, different needs. Ramital quoted the Zohar that Yaakov's trait, unlike Avram being defined or characterized as Chesed and Yitzchak as Gevura, Yaakov's trait is Tiferes, which is the merging of other people and the merging of multiple needs. That's why he has multiple children, unlike the other Avos who only deliver their future and their destiny to one of the two children. He delivers it to ultimately 12 or 13, and each shevet represents a different feature and a different aspect. And this is a very characteristic statement of Rav Amital, because again, it speaks to, first of all, a world of complexity, a world of dualism, a world of different functions. Not everyone is meant to be the same. Appreciation of differences, cultivation of differences, respect for individuality. It also speaks of this issue I keep getting back to, that we are humans and we're meant to retain our humanity. And as humans, we're different and different needs, and we live in a complex world, rather than seeing the complexities of our world as a Yetzer Hara or a barrier to our Avodas Hashem that has to be resolved or transcended. This is meant to, we're meant to deal with it, to confront it, to harmonize, to struggle in surrounding ourselves with as many rocks as we can and merging those rocks in a way that we can't, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, and maybe great people can, but certainly when we operate in a national arena, it's the merging of the stones, not the selection of the stones that is highlighted. And of course, it also is just a striking demonstration of how Rav Amital was able to read Midrashim as a metaphor, again, in ways that you'd expect from people who had more textual experience in reading metaphors and poetry, and just to be able to convert a Midrash, which is very enticing as a child, but as an adult, it causes us a little bit of an awkward moment, an awkward pause. Why would stone speak? Why would the Midrash quote the stone speaking? Why would Rashi quote the Midrash? Why is this important? What's the message? How does this enhance in our appreciation of Yaakov's struggle? By reading it as a metaphor, it rendered it as relevant and very compelling.